Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey, and on today's episode, we are going to be chatting to the team behind Doncaster Fear Factory. We're going to be chatting to Laurie, Gary, and Emma all about the event coming back for 2021 this Halloween season. I cannot wait. They've got three scare attractions, two yet to be announced scare zones as well. It's in the middle of loads of woodlands. It's going to be an awesome event. Really hope we can get to it this Halloween season. I hope you guys can too. And check out the show notes below where you can go straight to their website. Check out more information as well. So without any further ado, let's take you to the interview with myself and the creative team behind Doncaster Fear Factory.
You're listening to Scare
Hi folks, and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said, I'm here with the team behind Doncaster Fear Factory. We've got Gary, Laurie and Emma. Team, how are you?
All good, dude. How's you?
Yeah.
All good. Yeah, we're all good, thank you.
Fantastic, thank you.
Fantastic. So we've got all three of you, so it's going to be a nice big action-packed show tonight. And we'll talk to you as a big collective group as well. But I want to learn a little bit about the individuals behind Doncaster Fear Factory before we get onto the topic of this year's scares back for Halloween 2021. Let's talk to you individually first. Guys, who wants to go first and let us know how you sort of got into the scare industry and what's your background within this crazy world of scare entertainment?
Previously with Laurie, I was a makeup artist for him. It was a couple of years ago. And that's sort of my biggest background is your special effects makeup. You're looking at, you know, the prosthetics, all that kind of side of things, as well as, you know, your normal bruising sort of, you know, horror makeup as well. And then we just took it from there, really. We were bouncing ideas off each other for, you know, Doncaster Fear Factory. And then I ended up becoming the event coordinator for it. So there you go.
Awesome. So 1 year you can be doing one job and it can just sort of progress into something quite naturally as well, which is great. Guys, Laurie, Gary, do you want to give us a little bit of info on how you guys got into the industry as well?
11 years ago, we sort of have this idea that I want to start designing and producing scare attractions and scare entertainment and anything that was sort of spooky and a little bit edgy. So we set up GNG Entertainment with Gav. I've been trying to add it up. I think the ones we've just finished designing for Doncaster, I think that was number 51 of the scare attractions that we did, with massive varying degrees of success over the years. I kind of stopped doing it a couple of years ago. I just got bored with the whole thing and it just wasn't what I wanted anymore. And then Laurie, you know, said, you know, we're going to bring Doncaster Fear Factory back. Would you be up for, writing some stories and doing some stuff? And, you know, lockdown happened, so I had nothing better to do. So I thought, yeah, what the hell? Let's do it. Let's go for it. And here we are.
Perfect. And Laurie, last but not least.
Yeah, so I started back in probably like 2014 with GNG, just sort of doing the performance side to it. And then, you know, as it goes, you sort of get more and more involved with the productions and stuff like that. And we found sort of a permanent location in 2017, and sort of started with Doncaster Fear Factory there. It sort of outgrew the site within a year, which was really good. It was quite a successful event. So we were very stuck with how we could progress it more. And basically, the only answer was we needed to find a bigger site. And it took us sort of 4 years to do that. So but we're back now. So that's the good side.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to this season. Let's talk a little bit about how it sort of started then. You say it started on a little bit of a smaller site a few years ago. How did that sort of come to fruition? Was it a case of you, like you said, you've already worked for G&G anyway. You had an opportunity, you had the space, you had the chance to do it. So you thought, grab the ball by the horns and let's give it another go.
Yeah, I think from most of the events, they start with Gary's little brain, and he comes with sort of an idea, a document, and they basically came and said, "Oh, we've got these mazes. We were looking for somewhere to put them, and we found this really creepy barn up the road, and we put them in there, Gary, didn't we?" And that's sort of how the first one started, really.
Yeah, we had Lee and Sarah.
Okay,
with us, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
They did the first one with us, and it was a bit of a... quite a few was involved, weren't there, in the first one, and it just sort of took off from there, really, didn't it? And we did the Christmas thing, and it were good. It were a great venue, a great site, but like Laurie said, it was just not quite big enough, and we had all sorts of issues with car parking and all sorts of madness going on. So, it sort of what we assumed would just be a normal, you know, small-ish scare attraction, it sort of grew ridiculously quick.
Victims of your own success.
Yeah,
something like that.
So let's talk about this year's venue a bit then. Where are you this year? What kind of event can people expect as well?
So we are at Thornhurst Manor Country Park this year. You can expect fully immersive scare mazes, scare zones. You know that I've walked through the past and the mazes myself over the last couple of weeks, and they're just getting better and better. They just feel, you know, so long enough, but you know, it's a decent size mazes. So you know, people can expect to really sort of be dragged into that, you know, and as the story develops through each maze, you know, there's time for that to do that. You know, some scare attractions are just over so quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, you know, the maze is a decent length enough, you know, for that story to convey.
Definitely. And is that something that you guys as a whole team have been very cautious of, making sure you do get the timing right? Because like I said, some can be over too quickly, and then flipping it, I've been through some that last too long, so you lose the magic.
Yeah,
are you trying to find that equal sort of that perfect amount, really, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the beauty of this sort of location where we are at now, so it's 180 acres of pure woodland. So actually, once you leave the car park and go through the sort of gates, the whole event is in the woodland. So it's very immersive. It's not like events where you're sort of in a back of a car park or in a farmer's field. It is completely in a woodland, which is really spooky on a night time. So it's great for the atmosphere.
Definitely. It sounds awesome. I'm really looking forward to getting up there. And like we say, we've got three brand new horror mazes for 2021, and two yet to be announced scare zones as well. So I'm sure there's plenty for people to do whilst they're there and get a fantastic fright. Let's talk about the individual sort of scares, if we can then. If you guys want to sort of take a lead on each attraction and let us know what sort of themes and what sort of stories we'll see from each scare maze at Doncaster Fear Factory.
We've got, obviously, the whole theme of the entire park. We wanted to do it on some kind of environmental thing. So not ramming some, you know, save the earth message down your throat, but have that as sort of like the basis of it. So the original one we wrote, it was sort of, we had to rewrite the whole thing from scratch, because
this is sort of pre-COVID. Yeah. We came up with the idea that, you know, global warming's happening and, you know, the Earth's doomed. So we came up with a storyline that, you know, these group of scientists around the world came together and they created this, like, aerosol thing that would be dispersed into the stratosphere, which time would cool the Earth back to sort of pre-industrial revolution levels and everything would be good. Obviously, things went a bit wrong. And things went bad, but we sort of we had it set up. It was eerily like what we're experiencing now. You know, we sort of we had roaming characters set up that were wearing masks and firing laser thermometers at your head to see if you were infected. One of the mazes that we had was set up as a huge like field hospital because the NHS couldn't cope with the amount of people that were sort of becoming infected and ill. So it was like, what's going on here? And literally. Predicted the end of the world.
One of the things which is just really mental, and that's how we were going to temperature check all the guests before they enter the mazes. And I really wish we'd dated that document, Gary, and published that now because it's mental.
You know when the Simpsons seem to predict the future quite regularly?
Yeah.
Have Doncaster Fear Factory just fucked the world for a little bit? Is that what happened?
Sorry, guys. Sorry. So, yes, I mean, it became obviously massively evident that we couldn't do that or do any of it. So we scrapped the whole thing, but we still wanted to keep that environmental vibe going on. So we sort of looked at what else we could do. And we kind of thought, you know, the oceans are full of plastic. That doesn't really work. We can't. How do you get that across? And then we looked at, you know, animals being hunted and things. We couldn't. Maybe that would work somehow. So we kind of, we were at, I think we were at Knott's Berry Farm, I think. If I remember back, and we were sort of throwing some ideas around, and we came up with fracking, and we thought, yeah, that could be quite good. So, you know, drilling into the earth, environmental disaster, there's something down there maybe that gets released. And we sort of, we had that on the back burner. Right. And then, like I said, when Laurie came and said, you know, we're going to go for it in 2021, we sort of pulled that out of the hat and sort of worked with that. So... and I'll try and keep this as brief as possible. The backstory for the entire thing is there it was this beautiful, you know, piece of countryside, really serene, and a group of people who call themselves the Eden Initiative came together to sort of live off the land in a carbon-free way and, you know, protect the environment and grow their own food and just live this cool, vegan, hippie lifestyle. And everything was really good for quite a while. And his main character, Adam, came and sort of joined the Eden Initiative and everything was cool. But what they didn't realise is a few years before that, a survey had been done on land and there was a huge pockets of shale gas that were found underneath this sort of Eden. And the Dominions Corporation, in their wicked way, compulsory purchased the entire land that this Eden Initiative were sort of, you know, living on. And brought in the Calico Fracking Company to frack the earth, basically, and get the shale gas out. So there was sort of like pitch battles and riots and protesting and all this carrying on. But they drilled anyway, and so they released this virus-type thing that was trapped under the ground, which slowly infected the soil, which then infected the plants that they were growing to eat, and in turn infected them. But there was this huge cave network underground where these creatures had lived for thousands and thousands of years, undisturbed, living in complete darkness, and all this kind of stuff got released. So that was the basis for the sort of the park, and then the three mazes are built around that. So you've got the first maze is Eden. So this is an outdoor one where you're walking through the old Eden Initiative sort of campsite, which is now this desolate place. Where all this rioting has happened and burnt out caravans and tents and all that kind of carry on. And these infected people are hunting you down along with, you know, the Dominions Corporation, security, who are all infected with this, you know, this mysterious disease that has been released from the ground. So that's sort of, you know, you make your way through that in various scenes, meeting various characters along the way. And then Maze 2 is called Yana. So when they first discovered this infection that they'd released from the fracking, the Dominions Corporation rolled in and set up Facility 26, where they were testing this stuff. So they took soil samples and samples of the crops and the animals and the people. And they were sort of experimenting on it to see what it was and, you know, how they could stop it and potentially how they could weaponize this thing, you know, for a future war. So Maze 2 is Yharnam, and you make your way through this facility through all these different rooms inside this sort of big, you know, hidden laboratory type situation. And then Maze 3 is the chasm. So you actually go underground. So this huge underground network that was discovered where these creatures live, it was sort of hastily sealed off with a pressure door. But you get to go inside. So you go inside this pressure door and you head deep underground into these caves, and all sorts of madness awaits you while you're down there.
That sounds pretty awesome. And in fairness as well, I can't think of many many places, especially here in the UK, that use a whole sort of theme, a whole sort of storyline, plot, stimulus for each of their attractions within like this one big story arc. Is that something you've like you say, you've had different stories you've had to sort of scrap in the past because of COVID, but was that something you wanted to do from the get-go, is sort of connect it all
together?
Yeah.
There's always sort of the attractions that sort of don't make sense, and you go from a hospital to a clown maze and sort of all stuff like that, and we didn't want to do that. We wanted it to be really immersive. We've got an immersive site with the woodland, and we didn't want to just put loads of random themes in there, really. So yeah, that was sort of one of the main briefs at the start, was to sort of have a main storyline and a backstory that goes throughout all the mazes, really.
Definitely, yeah. And I guess that means you can although have different characters, different creatures, etc. in each attraction, you can also sort of tie it all together with the types of costumes, the types of makeup. Emma, is that something that's sort of going through your mind all the time as well? I think what these characters are going to look like, what kind of makeup they need in all three attractions and individually as well?
Oh gosh, yeah, constantly. And also, not only that, you're looking at the smells as well, because you know we are introducing smells to this, aren't we, Laurie? So when we say it's fully immersive, it's fully immersive, you know. So when you're smelling something, you imagine sort of what does that person look like, or they're in this, you know, they're in this area where it smells like this. So when you close your eyes and you smell something, what do you see? You know, you've got to make sure that all these things come together. So you know, makeup and costume are so important. You know, it's really got to be planned out thoroughly. But yes, you know, all the time, it's just constantly going through my head.
Definitely awesome. And it will soon be here, although it's recording the 20th of April. It will soon be time, you know, the countdown to Halloween and come round. Before we sort of get on to the end and talk about the opening times, the dates, and how to book in your website and social media and whatnot, what sort of attractions, I know there are individual mazes, but is it going to be an event where you will do mazes in a particular order, or will it be a case of you can do each attraction as and when? What's the sort of infrastructure of the park at Doncaster Fear Factory?
Yeah, so there's no sort of set order for the mazes, which is good. Just meaning the site's sort of, you can do one maze, and we do have a central hub area, which there's going to be sort of roaming actors and street entertainment there.
Awesome.
So you can sort of have a chill between each maze. Which, yeah, I think it adds to it a little bit more than being rushed around all three, and you can take in a bit
Definitely.
More of the experience.
Yeah, it's more of a night out. Again, it's like a traditional style Scream park where you can choose to do an attraction, then potentially go and get a burger, or then go and do another one, get a beer or something like that. So it's cool, and that's something a lot of people missed last season due to the fact of COVID. The very few places that did open, many of them did open in a linear sort of way, the multi-part event, and there's no harm in that. I sometimes enjoy those nights, but then again, it is always good to get to a, like you say, a Scream park, which Doncaster Fear Factory is going to be when it opens this season. When are you guys opening? Have you released your dates yet? Are tickets on sale?
Yeah, we have. We have. We've released the dates. Tickets are on sale now. They have been for a couple of weeks. We've got the VIP packages, which obviously we're calling RIP, and then obviously general admission. We also have actually on Halloween itself, on the 30th of October, we have the After Dark event. So it's more like an after party, basically. So they'll be they're separately ticketed to, you know, your general admission on other days as well. So there's a lot of interest for that as well at the moment. Laurie, I've totally forgotten the date that we're starting on.
The 8th, I think, is our opening night. Yeah, so
we've come prepared here, haven't we? I think it's sometime around the 8th.
The website.
I've got millions of dates running through my head right now.
Yeah,
well, that's also if it is the 8th, it will be it'll be early Halloween then, so people will get multiple chances to be able to see. How many nights are you open for? Are you sure roughly how many nights?
18. Yeah, I know.
Wow,
that one.
18 nights. That's good. No, that's great. It's there's nothing worse than some attractions only opening for 4 days or whatnot, especially at Halloween. It's obviously sometimes people are restricted to times and what they can do and what kind of event it is. But when there's 18, you know, that means that I get to come, because there's never enough days in October, is there? It's always hard to cram everything in. So 18, it's awesome. And on what's your website, guys? How does everyone get tickets?
Yeah, so we are at www.doncasterfearfactory.co.uk. Quite a simple one.
Yeah, perfect. Excellent. And everyone can get their tickets on there, along with your social media pages. I'll link them in the show notes below, guys, so everyone can go and give them a follow, give them a like, give them a subscribe.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scaretrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
So what kind of things can we expect from these After Dark events?
So when we sort of went to the drawing board for the whole events, we wanted to do something a little bit different, a little bit more international. I think the international theme parks do it a lot more. But we sort of have a license till 1 o'clock, which is quite nice. So we wanted to do something when the sort of main mazes close all the way till 1 o'clock. So we thought the Halloween sort of weekend would be a great opportunity to put sort of a live DJ on and carry on the night all the way to 1 o'clock in the morning, which would bring in Halloween as well, which is really nice. And again, we'll have all the roaming characters and all stuff like that all the way to 1 o'clock in the morning, really. So it's a great evening.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. It means that you can go there, have some frights, but also have a party time after that as well. Awesome. And how many nights are those running?
That's just the one.
Just the one.
Just
night.
The one. Just the Saturday before Halloween. Yeah.
Right. Sweet. Awesome. So people get the tickets for that before they sell out, basically.
Yes, definitely. Very limited.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's very limited. And we must say as well, the After Dark is strictly over 18.
Awesome. Definitely. So yeah, if you're over 18, guys, and you want to celebrate Halloween in style, get yourself to After Dark at Doncaster Fear Factory. And I've got to ask just one more thing. You know, it's that elephant in the room. We're all hoping and touching wood that COVID is going to be completely out of our way and not having to worry about that sort of thing. But I'm guessing you need a contingency plan whilst you're moving forward with this event. All those sort of things in place now, so you could run it as a COVID secure attraction, or you're thinking that if it sort of came back, you'd postpone it for another year?
Yeah, so we have sort of got an action plan, sort of if in case we go into sort of back into the tiers or tighter restrictions, because it is quite an outdoor.
We have a full COVID-19 risk assessment in place as well, so if that was to to return. You know, there's lots of policies and procedures to follow, but yeah, it's all there. It's fully in place.
Awesome, excellent, very exciting stuff then, guys. I can't wait to check it out this Halloween season. All our listeners as well, I'm sure you want to get there as well, so check out the website again. I'll link it in the show notes below so you can get your tickets before you sell out, especially to the After Dark event as well. So the team from Doncaster Fear Factory, huge thank you for joining us on the Scaretrack podcast.
Cheers for having us, dude. It's been awesome.
You're listening to Scaretrack.
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to the team of the Doncaster Fear Factory for coming on to the Scaretrack podcast. It sounds epic, doesn't it? I can't wait to get out there. I haven't been able to go to Doncaster Fear Factory before a few years ago when it was there as a smaller event, but I have been to plenty of Gary's attractions when he was with G&G Entertainment. Some really, really quality stuff over the years. Really loved it. So I'm really excited to check out Doncaster Fear Factory. I like the fact that, you know, even though there's three different mazes, that it has one big overlying story arc, along with their two scare zones that are yet to be announced as well. I really like that idea of having a big sort of saga, a big story overlooking the three individual attractions, well, the five individual attractions along with those scare zones as well. So guys, get your tickets so you can get to Doncaster Fear Factory. The website is in the show notes below. Get them now before they sell out. I guarantee that crazy After Dark event is going to sell out quick, so get your tickets for that and enjoy celebrating Halloween in style. It almost brings us to the end of this episode of the Scaretrack podcast. We, of course, really, really appreciate you listening and giving us all the support. Really, really do appreciate it. If you like theme parks as well as scare events, be sure to check out our last couple of episodes. We have been to Orton Towers to check out their new Retro Squad. We were also at Blackpool Pleasure Beach for their opening day as well. So we talk a little bit about our trip reports in the last two Coaster Track episodes. We've been doing some scares as well. We went to Fearfields the other night. There's a on-location review episode on the podcast. And of course, as always, there's a mini scare cam episode over on our YouTube channel as well. It's youtube.com/scaretrack. And we're so close to 1,000 subscribers, guys. Honestly, it's so close, you can smell it. We are so close to that finish line now. So if you can help us, if you enjoy listening to the podcast, please do check out our video stuff as well, youtube.com/scaretrack. We really hope you enjoy that too. And like I say, click that subscribe button so we can get to our next milestone. That's it from me. A huge, huge thank you for listening. And let's get scared.